Good afternoon. Thank you for taking the time to attend the 2015 MVP Virtual Conference. My name is Jeff Shirley, and I'm an Access Database MVP located in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, up in Canada. And this presentation has come about as a result of my struggle trying to get off of my old Fruit phone into a new Windows Nokia 930. And the task, which I thought would be quite simple, there's actually quite a few little tips and tricks you need to know. So today I'm just going to walk you through some of those. If the desktop sharing doesn't work, I'll keep on talking, and I've got some screenshots in here which I can explain the process for you. And I could, if you're taking notes, you can have a pen handy and write down some of the commands I'm going to shout out at you, because there's several things you're going to need to know for this. So out of the gate here, the task at hand is to take a public domain I've registered, which was www.rivercitytech.ca, and migrate it to Office 365, while at the same time taking my good old Outlook 2010 profile with its standalone PST file and moving it with my contacts and my emails, my calendar appointments, everything, out of the iPhone device to the Nokia 930. In this process, you have to back up your PST files and then, of course, get everything migrated across off to Office 365. And then you need to reconfigure your domain and your MX records, your SPF records, your CNAME records, and your domain, all to work with Office 365 as well. So there's quite a few steps involved. There's wizards for most of them. There's tools provided by Microsoft for most of them. And some of them you have to muddle your way through and a little bit of trial and error and work with your domain hosting provider. So I've got all of those set up on my desktop here. Hopefully I'll be able to share them on the screen for you today. If not, like I said, I've got some screenshots and we'll work with those. Some of the problems here, and I'm going to hit a main one right out of the box. There's actually two things, so write this down. Number one, if you've got an Apple iPhone and you're moving to a Nokia phone, it's a good thing. Congratulations. I'm glad you're taking that step. The thing that you need to do, which I did not do, is you need to deregister your iPhone before you give it away or sell it or roll over it with your car, whatever you're going to do. So what happened was my contacts out there that had been texting me on my iPhone, they had me in there as instant iMessaging. So all of their messages still kept going to the old iPhone rather than my new phone. And it took a while for that to get sorted out. Had to go to the person I gave the phone to and do some cleanup there. And once you've switched the SIM out of it and changed your number, you can't deregister it anymore. So it's a one-time thing. Make sure you do that before you take the SIM out and deactivate it. All right? That's the first critical thing. Second critical thing, which you want to write down, is when you're setting up a new Windows iPhone, you're going to be asked for your Windows account to connect it to. When I got my brand new Windows phone in the mail and I started to set it up, I thought, oh, I'm going to test this with my old Windows mail account and see what happens. And lo and behold, about a month later, after everything's working, I've got my email, my contacts, and my appointments all working. I'm going, this is awesome. I want to change the Windows Live account I use for it. I learned the hard way that you cannot change it without wiping the phone and starting from scratch. So make that note. This is two critical things which really screw you up. And I will state today I'm still using my first Windows Live account because I didn't want to go through the process of doing this all again right now. A little bit lazy there. So that's the main thing. Some of the small problems along the way. You want to keep your contacts and calendar events from your old Microsoft Outlook profile that are currently syncing with iTunes and your phone. So those were things I want to keep. I want to keep all of my email that was in my Outlook account in the PST file and move it into Office 365. And I wanted to actually keep my music, which is a big thing, that's all sitting in iTunes because I didn't, you know, you had thousands of dollars in music and you don't want to lose that. And I did want it to move across to my phone so when I'm driving down the highway, I can plug that in and play it in the truck. So those were some other things in this process that I had to do a little bit of homework on and find, and there is ways to do all of this. When I was done, the end result is your Microsoft Outlook is talking to one or more email accounts, including Office 365. And it's synchronizing the music, the calendar, the appointments, the people, the email, everything as a true Exchange server system should. So whether I'm on my phone or on my desktop or out in the country, when I check my devices, my email is synchronized. If I delete an email, it's deleted across all of the emails, all of the devices. So some of the benefits for this by the time you're done, I think the main one for me was the powerfulness of Microsoft Exchange Server. You get an Office 365 Exchange Server solution with your email and everything synchronizing and tapping into all the powerful options you get with that, including things like Outlook Web Access or away from the office or out of office replies, whatever you want to refer to it as, mail tips, that kind of stuff. So I use that quite a bit, and there are features that were worth the migration. I'll state up front, because a lot of you are probably in the same boat, if you're not a Microsoft phone user today, for me it was a real leap of faith, and I wasn't sure I wanted to do it, but I figured as a consultant and an MVP, you know, this is something I should know and learn how to do. I thought it would be a test and learn and be able to help others do it, but maybe I wouldn't switch because I really liked my old device. And I've got to say now, you wouldn't be able to get this Windows phone away from me. I'd never go back. There's too many new benefits I get, and there's a real learning curve to it, but it's worth it. It's well worth it. So there's my little PR point, and I'll get on to the next slide here. So the tools and knowledge you need. The first one is NS Lookup. I don't know how many of you have used this, but it's a nice little command line tool for checking your DNS server for types of records on different zones. And the typical way you do this is hit Windows R, launch a command prompt. You want to be at administrative rights command prompt if you can. Then you're going to type in NS Lookup and press Enter. And it's going to give you a prompt. That prompt there is where you're going to type in the different settings that you want to query for your different records. So usually what I would start off with is I type in set space type equal MX, press enter, and then I'll type in the domain I want to check the MX record for. So an example would be rivercitytech.ca, press enter, or type in microsoft.com, press enter, and you're going to see the current MX record for your domain. A shortcut for this, if you want, is you can jump out to MX Lookup websites like mxtoolbox.com and type in the domain you want to know, and they'll tell you the MX records there and the priority on them and that kind of thing. This matters because what you're going to be doing here is you're taking your old domain that you've purchased online, and you're going to have to modify the MX records to work with Office 365. Then when you set up your email accounts in Outlook, not only are you going to have to make sure your MX records and all the other records Office 365 requires are done, you also need to log in to your domain hosting supplier and change a bunch of other things to do with SPF records, SIP records, CNAME records. There's a bunch of them to make Link and everything else work. Giving Microsoft credit here, the wizard that they give you to do this online is quite powerful. It tells you all the records you need to change. Take your time, read it carefully, and follow the steps, and you shouldn't run into too many problems. Two little things I ran into, I guess three things on this slide. First one is to get your Windows phone talking to all of the stuff on your computer. You're going to want to download the Windows Phone app. If you're not aware of this, this is the same as Apple's iTunes product. It sort of works like that. You log into it and you can see all of your songs, your music, your pictures, your videos, your podcasts, and you pick what you want to synchronize to your phone. So you go through there and you check off, I want my country music and my rock and roll music, and then what tunes do I actually want to synchronize to my phone? You can pick them out, whether it's playlists or songs or what have you. So that's the first tool. Make sure you download it. It runs on Windows 8, Windows 10, and it runs actually on Windows 7 as well. So you can try this today and check it out. The next thing you're going to need is the website. You're going to need access to internet. You're going to need testconnectivity.microsoft.com. This website is quite a powerful website for a lot of things besides what I'm doing in this demo today. But it allows you to actually drill into your Office 365 registration and find out what is the name of your Exchange server. And that's a critical piece of information, because if your default settings don't work when you go to add your account, as they did not for me, you're kind of stuck. You can't just type in your email address and say auto detect my email. It doesn't work. So you have to use this tool to go down the hard way and find out what is the name of your Exchange server, because it's not going to be some friendly name. It's a long numerical GUID type number that you use to identify the name of your Exchange server. So that tool will extract that for you. It's relatively easy to use, and I do have a screenshot of that later in the slide deck I will show you. The next one that was an oddball one, I was surprised I needed this. This was because I was running Outlook 2010 with a standard PST file, which was talking to an email account from my ISP. So I needed to modify my Outlook accounts to actually sync in and talk to Office 365 and start uploading my contacts and my different pieces of information that I wanted. So in order for that to sync, I needed to use Outlook Hotmail connector, and that's because I'm running Outlook 2010. I've got a note here from Julie Dijon, which states in Outlook 2013, you don't need to use that. That's awesome. If you've got Outlook 2013, that's one less problem for you to solve. Right? In my case, I was migrating from a good old faithful Outlook 2010. I hadn't done any upgrades to it in a while. So those are the links on the screen there. Next, some of the reasons I'm doing this, just to sort of put out there some of the benefits that you may not be aware of. You get out-of-office replies in Outlook or from your phone. I really like that I can open up my phone and drill into my account and enable out-of-office automatic replies. You get an easy, intuitive interface to managing Active Directory and Exchange. If you're familiar with Active Directory, with Office 365, you can go in there and set up Active Directory, create your users, do all the different things with distribution groups you would normally like to do. You get Exchange server features available from the admin portal, and you don't have to back up anything that, you know, in the traditional sense of your Office network. Microsoft's looking after that for you. They're running all their Exchange services and servers out there. The next benefit, multiple devices are synchronized, and in my case, that's a phone and several laptops, a desktop, I can go to the office. They're all synchronized, so I'm not, you know, reading multiple emails, deleting, saying, oh, I read this once already, I've got to delete it again. Doesn't happen. That used to happen with the, you know, traditional POP3 type stuff that a lot of people use still. And the other kind of cool thing, I've got an Office 365 E3 subscription. It's an enterprise E3 subscription, and you can do more than one domain. So in my case, I actually migrated a couple of domains on top of the Office 365 when I had registered, and that allows me to manage them all through one portal, which has just been a real treat, I guess you could say. All right. Overview of the tasks, which we're going to do in the demo. You back up your PST file. If you don't know where that is, it's not always in your documents folder. You have to be aware that you might have to show hidden folders and drill into your user profile down into app data, and then it's usually in local, and then a subfolder called Microsoft, another subfolder called Outlook. And in there, you'll find your PST files if they're not in a place like My Documents or somewhere else. That's all your emails, and you know it's the right one if it's time-stamped, you know, yesterday or today when you last were in your Outlook. Make sure you make a copy of that. I had a couple hair-raising moments when I was doing this where I was like, I think I just disconnected my good old ISP email account. I'm on Office 365, but I didn't transfer my emails yet. Where are they? And they're gone. So you have to reconnect that PST file. I just recommend backing that up before you start. Configure the Hotmail connector next. So you're going to download that and install it. And in that process, it'll sync up and ask you what you're going to try and transfer up to the cloud into your Office 365 accounts. It gets a little bit confusing. At one point, I had four calendars running here. So you have to make sure you know which accounts you're going to sync and which calendar you're going to use. And when you're done, you want to kind of clean that up and tell your devices which calendar is your primary calendar. So today, if I open up my Outlook, I still have four email accounts opening up. And they're each different domains. Two of them are hosted on Office 365. One's still a good old POP3 account, and the other one is my Windows Live account. Great. Next, as per the previous slide, download your Windows Phone app, and then in there start your synchronization of your music, pictures, and whatever else you want to do. And when you have that app installed, it's kind of nice. The minute you bring your Windows phone and connect it to your PC, just like your previous vendor, the app opens up and says, do you want to synchronize right now? You can, the pink pictures, you can choose what you want to synchronize. It's the same experience. It's a nicer interface, I find. And then you can drag and drop your emails from your old account right into your new Office 365 account, was another nice trick. So in Outlook, I looked at all my screen of my old POP3 account, grabbed all the emails I wanted, actually just dragged them across to my Office 365 account, and then waited for the, I think it was 600 megabytes or something like that to synchronize. That took a while, but oh well. All right, so the finished overview. Your PC will be running Outlook, running on Exchange Office 365. Your calendars and people are synchronizing between your desktop and your mobile devices. Your emails are synchronized. Your music is synchronized. And your photos, videos, podcasts, everything else you wanted is now synchronized as well. Some of the hiccups in here, I still haven't dropped iTunes. I found that it's some of the stuff in there I haven't transferred or just didn't want to transfer, and I've kept it because of DRM reasons or anything like things like that. And I haven't quite disconnected yet, but I can state that I no longer use the Apple devices for my day-to-day business needs and my mobile experience. All right. So with a quick demo, we are having some troubles with this, so I am going to try this and get somebody to advise me if this works or not. I'm going to try and share my desktop and step into this. We've been having some bandwidth troubles today, and this may not work. We will find out. Bear with us. 10-4 from the bosses. You can see me. That is awesome. So don't laugh at my bad music, but you should be looking at my phone app for desktop right now, Windows phone app for desktop. This is the download I was talking about for synchronizing with your phone and that kind of thing. So in here you can see I've got my playlist picked off, my genres of music I want to listen to, a little bit of driving music there for out in the country up here in Saskatchewan. And so I want to pick, if I want to synchronize my photos and different things to my phone, I can. Sometimes I'll actually change this based on what events I'm going to or where I'm going. If I, you know, in this case, I've got house plans picked on there. If I'm going to go meet with a contractor, I'll work with that. Your videos, all the same thing. Some lovely videos there on tree mulching and your podcasts. Microsoft tells me they're alone. I don't have any, but you get the idea. So this is your Windows phone app, and it really replaces your synchronization experience with the iPhone. Tells you a little bit about your phone. You can see I'm running a Nokia Lumia 930 up top, and my battery is at 83%. If I come in here to settings, you can change the name of your phone. You can change how videos are compressed. You can set your different app settings. And what's interesting here, if you notice, my sync music and videos is actually still iTunes. So it's kind of nice because you're trying to migrate, right? You're trying to get off of one onto the other, but sometimes it's not that simple to just cut the cord and go. You can lose things. So in this case, I've elected to stay on there. Sorry, Microsoft, but that day will come. I'll get migrated across to the Windows libraries at some point. It hasn't happened yet. So that gives you a rough idea what you're looking at here. A Google phone, you can see what sort of stuff is on it. Tells me the storage, what songs, what photos are on there, and you can work with that to delete things, change things, copy things across. There's an option at the bottom here, save to PC. So if I take one of my music songs or photos or videos, I can save them to the PC. So if you're out in the field taking photos on your phone, away you go. And that's, you know, that was one of the reasons I bought this phone, the Nokia 930. 20 megapixel camera. There's some nice demos out there by National Geographic. It's a great device. It's yet again another reason why I'm really happy I changed. It's a quad-core processor, and it's super quick. Really good phone. I'm going to minimize this, and I am going to open up a couple of internet screens here for you. So just to make sure you all know where you're going to have to go to find all this, it actually took me a better part of a day sourcing through different links. I'm going to do a quick check as well before I hop over here, make sure I don't have any notes telling me we can't see it. Can I confirm, are you still seeing my desktop? That's Simon. Yes. Okay, excellent. So back to this. This is the warning about setting up or deleting your email account on your Windows phone. So this is something that, to me, it wasn't out there blatant enough for you to see when you're migrating to a Windows phone. And I just want to scroll down here and point out in the fine print something that should be at the top in the bold print. Right down here under notes. Once you've added a Microsoft account on your phone, there's no way of changing it without resetting your phone. Everybody out there is thinking of going to Windows Phone, bold that and then, you know, get it tattooed or something, because that's going to really tick you off if you don't know that. Like I said, you put in a lot of time to migrate across your phone, and it really sucks if you have to wipe it, lose all your apps, and reconfigure it all. So that's a good thing. Next tip. This is a common thing I've run into talking to people about moving to a Windows phone or even getting into some of the Windows services out there today. They get confused on the Microsoft account concept. I just wanted to point out in here that when you go to get a Microsoft account, you do not need to have a Microsoft email right now. And that was a misconception. If you've got that, you know, Verizon or SaskTel or VCTel or whatever you've got for an ISP email address, you can use it to create your Microsoft account. So put some thought into that and create the right type of Microsoft account that you're going to use for the life of this phone, unless you plan on wiping your phone and starting over. And that's like a reference, that's my one mistake, because I used my ISP account to do my test. Then I set up Office 365 after the fact, but my phone's main account was the ISP one. I wish I could change it easily to be my Office 365 one, and I can't without wiping it. So I think I've kicked that horse enough. We'll move on to the next one here. This is a typical, I use the service for hosting domains. So in here, if you see this is varialhosting.com. This is one of the major things you need to really understand to make the successful transition of registering a domain in Office 365 and then getting it to work with your Windows device properly. So I'm going to go in here and edit one of the domains that I'm talking about today, which is my rivercitytech.ca one. And I'll give that a second to refresh on your screen. You should be seeing the managing rivercitytech.ca screen. Under here is management tools, and there's DNS. So I'm going to go under there, manage my DNS server. And this will just take a second to load again. And if you're kind of techie on the server side of things or the DNS server side of things, this is old school for you. But if you're not and you're planning on making your own domain and registering with Office 365, you need to know this. So as I scroll down here, it's got all the different workers, everything standard stuff. But a little bit further into it, you're going to see, I'm going to scroll down quite a ways, you're going to see that there is a whole bunch of stuff to do with Office 365. So down here, rivercitytech.ca has got an MX record. Look at what it's now pointing to. It's rivercitytech.ca.mail.protection.outlook.com. That is your Office 365 services out there, all right? And what's nice about that, it's .protection.outlook.com. It's going through Office 365 standard anti-spam filters, doing a lot of groundwork for you that you don't have to have that extra layer of protection or out of the gate. Some other funky records, as we go down a little bit further here, you can see some of the DNS records that are going to get created. And I actually had to create these. They didn't happen automatically. So as part of my migration, it told you, you need this record, go create it. I had to go log into varialhosting.com to this domain to manage DNS and create these. So there's the CNAME records for the SIP record, for Link, the Link Discover records, the client config side. And there's a really nasty one that it's really complicated, is this SPF record. They're not as easy as they sound, and a lot of anti-spam products today are starting to use SPF record checks now. It's kind of like a reverse DNS lookup to say, are you real? And did this come who I think it should have come from? You'll notice in mine, it's got an include here for freshbooks.com. And then it's also got an include for protection.outlook.com-all. So that SPF record is authorizing Office 365 to send as River City Tech. It's like an identity. It's like a kind of like a fake certificate. It's not a certificate. It's a bad analogy, but it's an authorization of sorts. And the reason you see that other one, I just had to add this in there, because I use an accounting service for some of my work that I do, and I'm authorizing that accounting service to act on behalf of my domain. So that's what those include records are for. And that's why you see the Office 365 one included in there. There's also some records in here for Link, if you use Link through your domain, because Office 365, you get a lot of benefits like that. And service records for the Federation services, that's about it. That's the key ones that you need to create. So until you get these, the wizard for adding a domain will not let you proceed. It'll keep checking your domain, and it'll tell you if those records are there or not. And if you've created them wrong or you haven't added them, it's going to say, you don't have everything yet, you can't proceed. So that was kind of a problem. I can't remember which one of these it was, but one of these I had to contact the domain hosting company, whether you use GoDaddy or whoever you're using, and they had to manually add the record for me because the cPanel Linux-based interface that I had to go add my own records did not let me actually add that S record. So that's the next tab. Okay, on to the next setting. And I'm going to back this up one here. Hopefully it hasn't auto-logged me out. And moderators, if you can't see my screen, somebody audio clue me in here. You should be able to see it. So this is just resetting. This is the Office 365 admin portal. So you log in at portal.office.com if you've got Office 365. Under your main tile in the corner, you can see your options for typically, you know, go check your email, your calendar, your schedule, all that kind of lovely stuff. But what you're looking for is admin. And under admin, we go get a little bit more technical. So in here is my main dashboard. And I'm going to come down to domains, because this is what my presentation is, managing and migrating your domain to Office 365. When I first registered for Office 365, I started off with this one, blueherongardens.onmicrosoft.com. And life was great. And I thought, okay, I'm going to take my personal domain that I'm currently paying for hosting out at a provider, and my email's all over the place. I don't have auto replies. I don't have a lot of the features that Office 365 offers me. I'm going to add it. So you simply just click Add Domain. Now I'll click it here. I'm not going to add log today. It walks you through the wizard, and that's what it's saying. The wizard is actually really good. Microsoft's done a bang-up job on this. It's going to walk you through step by step by step what you have to do. And like I said, read the screens carefully, because they tell you, you need to add these records to DNS. You need to set this, and they're very, very specific. You can take a screenshot of it and email it to your ISP guy, and maybe he can do it for you. Right? So I'm going to back one up and go down to my rivercitytech.ca. After this was migrated, I made it default. And if I come into Manage DNS here, you'll actually see that Microsoft has set up the domain for Exchange Online and Link Online. Hopefully it's on your screen right now. Down here, it's got the MX, rivercitytech-ca.mail.protection.outlook.com. It's got my C name for the auto discover, which usually what would happen is you just Office 2013 open up Outlook and you add a new account and put in your email address and your password, and it should just go. I've had the odd client in my own case, my scenario, where it did not work and I needed that actual Exchange server and had to walk through a manual add. I've got a screenshot of that coming up here. Okay. There's my SPF record. That is the Office 365 one. As I showed you over on the domain hosting side, I had to add another include in there because I use other services that I authorize to send on my behalf as River City Tech. And some anti-spam products today, they're using SPF check. So if SPF check is enabled, your email without those includes is going to go right to the spam box. Okay, so that's no good. The other basic ones in here, there's your C names and your SRV records. Okay, and down there, there's one last additional Office 365 one, which is a CNAME for the Microsoft Office ID, and that's the client config one. So all of those had to get created manually. All right, I'm going to go back one thing else I want to show you in here. If I come down, I keep talking about, you know, you get all the power of Exchange. If I come down to my Office 365 admin center, I'm going to come down to Exchange here and give that a second to load. If you're an Exchange administrator out there, maybe you're on the IT pro side and you're not a consumer, This is a real nice feature because you can create multiple mailboxes. You can create groups. You got all your data loss prevention policies, your in-place hold policies. You can set up your protection, what you want to do for malware and spam and quarantine. And you can even set policies and rules for your mobile devices. So it's the tip of the iceberg. I don't want to, you know, derail my presentation, but be aware that you're getting all the benefits of Exchange and then some. So go get your favorite IT pro guy to walk you through some of this. You can start creating multiple mailboxes and distribution groups and all sorts of cool, awesome things. Your Outlook web app policies are over here as well. They're just default out of the gate. But if you use Outlook web app, you get all of that. So just to show you, I'm going to drill mailboxes. And inside Exchange, in this case, I've got a few that I've created just for fun in here. I've got my Blue Heron Garden domain added into Office 365, River City Tech domain added into Office 365, and my original Office 365 account set up in there as well. So you can see I've created accounts, and you can go in and set all the properties of them. No different than being on Exchange Server 2013 at an actual Exchange console. So back to the next thing. I'll go back in here. We'll go to the next tab. So this is one of the more impressive tools I ran into in the migration that I needed to use. This is the Microsoft Remote Connectivity Analyzer. And all of these different tabs I'm opening up, the URLs I've emailed to Microsoft so they can put them at the end of the presentation up on a slide for you, or if you email me after, I can send them to you. This is where you can go in. There's multiple options in here, Exchange, Link, Office 365, or a client or message analyzer. Multiple options to test things. And what we're doing for the purposes of migrating your domain is to go set up your account manually in Outlook after. You need to know your Exchange server. So what you do is you come to this Remote Connectivity Analyzer, to the Office 365 tab. Down here, choose Outlook Auto Discover, all right? And then you're going to use this wizard. And there's a lot of other things too. Feel free to, you know, maybe you're looking for something fun on Friday night to do. Go get yourself a drink and sit down and play with this tool. It's really cool. Click Next. In Next, you're going to put in your email address you want to test, the Microsoft account it's registered under, and then you're going to authenticate it, okay? And I'm going to type in my magic password here, and we're going to put in the lovely letters, which we think we can read today. They're not case sensitive, as it states. We're going to click Verify. There. So we're now verified for 30 minutes, all right? That's why I had to re-authenticate right now. I didn't have this authenticated the last 30 minutes. So I can do all the tests I want for 30 minutes. I'm going to go up top in the upper right and click Perform Test. And this doesn't take that long. It goes through, and it's actually hitting that DNS record and your domain and for rivercitytech.ca, and it's talking to Office 365 with SPF records, all that kind of stuff, and it's saying, okay, what are all the settings for this? Comes back, says tested successfully with some warnings. That's fine. We're going to click expand all. This is the trick here. Expand all, and then you're going to scroll down about three-quarters of the way down the page. I'll save you the hassle of reading all this lovely information. There's a ton of information here. We're going to go about three-quarters of the way down the page, and you are looking for this section right here, the Microsoft Connectivity Analyzer Attempt to Retrieve an XML Auto Discovery Response. I'm going to scroll down a little bit, and you're looking for the line that says Server. Right there. That is your Exchange server name. So in, you know, the typical Office environment, it might be called skexch2013.mydomain.local. In this case, this is my Exchange server, and that's what Outlook, if I'm going to go to my mobile device or Outlook or whatever I'm going to use, and I'm going to add a manual profile for Exchange, it's going to ask you, what's your Exchange server name? That's what you're going to type right there. So copy it, paste it, save it somewhere, don't lose it. It's a real pain in the butt to find, and you have to know how to use this tool to get it. All right, so that's the sole purpose of that tool for this demo. Go to the next slide here, my next tab. This is where you actually download the Windows Phone app for desktop, right off Microsoft website. So you can see up top the URL, windowsphone.com. And it's free. The best things in life are free, including Windows Phone app. Download it, install it on your desktop. All right. Next link, likewise free. This is what your Outlook Hotmail connector looks like. Same thing. Again, make a note in here. I got a little bit confused by this when I started out because it says, well, this is for Outlook 2003. No, it's Office 2010 as well. As previously mentioned from Julie, if you have Office 2013, you don't need this, all right? But I needed this, so it does my Microsoft Office Live Mail account synchronization. And one more tool coming in handy, MX Toolbox. This is a quick way to check just your MX records. So if I type in my domain here, click MX Lookup, it won't take all that long. There it goes. It goes through, checks port 25. At the top, we're going to get a blast of information here in a second. And it tells me your email service provider is Office 365. Woohoo! We won. All right, so that's really good. I know my external IP, that kind of stuff as well. The other neat thing we can do here, and because my screen share is working, I launched a command prompt ahead of time. I'll give that a second to pull up on the screen. Make sure your streaming video is keeping up with us here. This is the typical command prompt. So I usually don't use MX Toolbox. I like NS Lookup. So if I come in here, type in NS Lookup, it tells me what my current DNS server is, right? And this happens to be a public ISP DNS server. I can change that by typing server space and then the IP address I want. In this case, I'm actually going to put a filter on it. So I'm going to go set type equal MX. So I'm telling NS Lookup, which is like a query wizard to DNS servers, I'm telling, okay, that's the DNS server you're talking to, and I only want MX records. So if I type in Microsoft.com, it tells me that they got a cost of 10 on Microsoft.com.mail.protection.outlook.com. If I type in or a more common one around my neck of the woods here, sastel.net, you can see they have three mail servers set up with different costs for fault tolerance going through megamailservice.com. So the domain I transferred, rivercitytech.ca, there we are, and you can see indeed it comes up as -ca.mail.protection.outlook.com. So that's the Office 365. But a little bit more powerful, I'm going to go set type equal TXT. So then I'm going to type in rivercitytech.ca. And now I can actually see the SPF records and the other TXT records, because the SPF is usually represented, it always is represented as a TXT record. And if you're debugging somebody's domain or trying to figure out why is it not transferring or why are their emails not coming through, this is a little tool you want to use. This is tip of the iceberg. You can do a lot of other things with NS Lookup, but it's a tool that I use all the time for troubleshooting email migrations, domain migrations, anything to do with this kind of stuff. And in the case of an Office 365 email account migration, it is the tool. All right. So I'll minimize out of that. And last but not least here, I just want to mention for websites, things you're going to need. I actually found for me one of the hurdles, as it were, in migrating to Office 365 was just remembering where I go log in. So it's portal.office.com. It's another one of those things. If you're an old guy like me, you got to go write it down somewhere and have it on pen and paper so you can reference it. After you've hit it four or five times, you get used to it. But I'll admit the first week or so, I was Googling Office 365 login to go find where I would log in. So a little bit what it looks like outside of the admin. If I click on this and go to mail, then you'll actually see, okay, we're not in as an administrator. We're actually looking at Office 365 online. And in this case, I just got the default test account I was setting up, so I didn't show too much confidential information on the screen here. And you can see in here, you've got your typical create new email experience on the left with groups, all my inbox, and et cetera, in the center. If I come up top, there's your reply all for your normal settings. But if I click settings, it's a weird thing for me. It's a nice thing I like. Automatic replies. I can go in there. Maybe I'm going seeding in Saskatchewan in a couple days. I'm not going to be available on mobile device or something. I can turn on sending automatic replies. If you're running your own domain and you want a professional representation, you want to get these kind of benefits, you can do this. And the Office 365 product, I couldn't get that with my other services I had. Maybe there's third-party things for it. I don't know. But what I was doing, I didn't have it. And for me, this was just cat's meow. It's one of the main reasons I switched was getting the Exchange features. There are options in here where you can change how you're logged in, set your different settings. It depends how you operate. I don't usually operate as logged in the cloud like this. I use my devices, and I'm usually on-prem or on my mobile device, not on a website checking my email. But the features are there. If I want to open another mailbox, I can. All right. The other options, your calendar, your people, lots of different stuff in here. When you get really fancy, my mobile device, the Windows phone, I can actually have multiple calendars showing at once overlaid on top of each other. That's something I found I couldn't figure out how to do in the Fruit phone, but maybe you can. I don't know. I'm not going to say you can't. But in my Windows phone, I've got my Blue Heron Gardens, River City Tech, Outlook.com, and one other calendar, and I can actually checkbox all of them and say show them on my calendar as different colors, and then when I open my calendar, all my different appointments show in different colors based on the email account they are for. And if you're a busy person with multiple domains like me, you've got four different domains, you're trying to keep them all synchronized on one device and not tabbing in and out of different screens, the Windows phone solved that problem for me. From the front tile screen of my Windows phone, I have an exchange tile for rivercity.tech, Blue Heron Gardens, and my other accounts. They're each their own tile, and they each tell me how many new emails. I just touch the tile I want. It drills in and shows me all of the emails for that account. When I go to my calendar, on one calendar, I see all of my appointments for all four companies, and it's just a beautiful thing. I'm not going to different calendars, different inboxes, in and out all the time, checking things. So like I said, it was a learning curve. I had to learn how to do things differently, but it was phenomenal. So that's the nut and shell of it here. Hopefully you guys got all of that and stood up with my put up with my quick speaking. Want to get through everything, but I'll open the floor to some questions and stop presenting my desktop and see if anybody's got anything I can answer.
Really don't have any questions right now, Jeff.
Okay. Let me go to the PowerPoint then. Give me one second. I'm going to get back to my PowerPoint here.
And ladies and gentlemen, while pulling up the PowerPoint, I'm going to go ahead and put up the survey questions. They will appear on the left-hand side of the screen. You just submit your response, click on the blue or click on the circle, and select submit. And we can take additional questions. We do have additional time. So back over to you, Jeff.
I'm all ears. I'll watch for questions being put on the screen. That's really not what I'm seeing is anything typed on the screen. So, hello to the guys in Humboldt, Saskatchewan watching me. I was told by Samith they're out there. I'm glad you guys are working today. You can find me on Twitter. I'm not a very active Twitter, but it's usually relevant or Microsoft events. Or something about the weather in Saskatchewan because it's always interesting. The other thing is I'm on LinkedIn as well. You can find me there. And my domain, obviously, rivercitytech.ca. It's a work in progress as I just did switch to Office 365, so I'm slowly migrating all my stuff over to that. I have to give a toot to Microsoft Access. Anybody with Access database questions, PM me or track me down because that's my MVP. But I'm quite experienced on the IT pro side, Exchange Server, that kind of stuff. So I haven't seen any questions come through here yet. The audience must be eating supper or they got everything they needed to get. So all right, I got no questions, so thank you very much, and if there's anything further, Microsoft there, they have my contact information, or if you wrote it down, you can email me or track me down on LinkedIn or Twitter.